From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This. From Boston, where a new state law guarantees paid family and medical leave for most employees. But for new parents that took that time off under the federal law in 2020, the new state law is letting them take time off again, paid time, for an additional 3 months. GBH Radio's Gabriella Emanuel has more on what this means for parents. Hey, Gabriella.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. So first off, the question I have for you that I want to know most pressingly, this does not apply if your kids are tweens or teens, does it?
Not unless they've been adopted within the past year or in foster care.
It was worth asking. So tell us about who would qualify for this and what exactly they qualify for.
So basically, the state is in the midst of rolling out a new law that guarantees most employees in the state of Massachusetts paid family and medical leave. In terms of parents, this means that starting January 1st, new parents are able to take 3 months of paid leave anytime within the first year of their child's life. So going forward, this state parental leave, which is called bonding leave, will typically run at the same time as the three-month leave guaranteed to new parents by the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act, FMLA. But here's the special situation. For people who became parents in 2020, they had their kid basically before the state law went into effect. So their only option was to use the federal law, which gives you leave, but it's unpaid. Then came the new year, and with that, this new law went into effect. It was being rolled out. And these new parents, their kids were still under a year. So they are actually eligible and they can take leave again. And this time it's paid. So I spoke to a woman in this exact situation, Anne Elizabeth Young. She took 3 months off when her daughter was born in September 2020. And now she's able to take another 3 months off under the state law.
Now, I know it can be a problem when new benefits are rolled out that not everyone who's qualified to apply knows about it and knows to apply for it. Is there some kind of push to get the word out about this, or how do people find out about it?
Great question. So that's actually been the hard part. Anne Elizabeth Young, who I was just talking about, she learned through word of mouth, and so have a lot of other parents, kind of through text chains and social media. The state has not had a big push to publicize this law. And there have been questions about why not. I tried to speak with them and they declined an interview request. So they haven't really been publicizing this new law or this special situation. And here's Young talking about that.
I like to think that I'm someone who follows news and politics pretty closely to, you know, be fairly plugged in and still have no idea. I mean, that was huge. And I felt a little guilty, not guilty necessarily for taking the leave, because I did feel 3 months was very short and I obviously would love more time with my child, but I'd wished I could have given my team a little bit more advance notice.
So Young actually had to inform her work that this second maternity leave was even an option. And she says it's been a scramble to get everything ready before she leaves at the end of the month. But even more importantly, she points out that the lack of publicity really puts an onus on new parents to tell their employer. And some employers might not be that supportive, even if it is, you know, protected by law.
And then from the employer side, what does this mean for employers?
So I spoke with Christopher Guerin about this, and he's with the Associated Industries of Massachusetts, which is this group that represents more than 3,000 employers. And he said this has been hard for companies.
I think the biggest challenge for employers with paid family and medical leave really hasn't been the cost. It's been the logistics of, you know, replacing people who are on leave or taking advantage of the law for one reason or another.
Basically, it's not easy to reconfigure your plant or your office or your restaurant to accommodate it, especially not when people are taking two leaves at different times or a leave in several chunks. But he did say he hasn't heard of too many cases of people taking this double leave. And the reality is the law is still very new and general awareness is low, as we talked about. So it's hard to predict how many people will be using either the double leave or going forward just using the benefit in general.
Gabriella, this is fascinating, and I bet there are more than a couple people listening who will be looking into this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's reporter Gabriella Emanuel. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up in Boston. Massachusetts will not be accepting a more than $4 billion settlement from the drug company Purdue. Dozens of states and cities across the country are suing the company and its owners, the Sackler family, alleging corporate profiteering from the opioid crisis. State Attorney General Maura Healey says not only is the $4 billion not enough, the settlement should also include a requirement that all emails between the Sacklers and Purdue executives be made public record to show what they knew.
That should be a lesson and a deterrent for any corporate actor that wants to act or is thinking about acting in a way that is really exploitive.
Meantime, this year's Boston Marathon is somehow settled and in flux at the same time. There's a date, at least. After being canceled last year, the 2021 race has been pushed to October 11th, instead of the traditional Patriots Day. The date won't be the only untraditional thing about the race. For one, the field will be capped at 20,000 runners. And some details remain, by necessity, sketchy. Boston Athletic Association President and CEO Tom Grillick says runners probably won't have to be fully vaccinated to participate, but testing will likely be a key component to keeping the event safe and successful. And don't even think about attending any large gathering beforehand.
Puts too many people too close together for too long. So there'll probably be some sort of arrangement such that people are coming out to the start on buses and moving out as rapidly as we can do it.
And one more thing. We want to hear how you've been enjoying this podcast so far, how you've not been enjoying this podcast so far, any ways you think we can improve it. As you know, we are doing a survey to find out what you really want to hear in a local news podcast, and we've been getting some great responses so far. One person says they listen to Consider This because it's hard to catch the live news sometimes, so having local news delivered in a podcast helps them stay informed. We understand. Even when you work in news, especially when you work in news, it can be hard to stay caught up. We love hearing your feedback and comments, so if you haven't submitted any comments just yet, don't worry. Just head over to wbur.org/survey to give us your feedback. That's wbur.org/survey. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since herd immunity and a marathon, I'm Arun Roth. We'll talk tomorrow. You like podcasts. I like hosting podcasts. Why don't we do this again and get together again on In It Together, the podcast from GBH News. On each episode, we bring you the latest news on the pandemic with a human touch. You'll hear from local experts and neighbors, doctors and friends, each talking about how we're all getting through these uncertain times together. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.